I call this meeting of the Matanuska-Susitna School Board to order for August 2nd, 2017. Madam Clerk, do we have a quorum?
Yes, Madam President, with all members present.
Thank you. Dr. Welton, will you please read our board goals?
Matanuska-Susitna Borough School District, our vision, mission, beliefs, principles, and goals. Our vision: Matsu Borough School District will be a model of excellence in teaching, learning, and engaging all students. Mission: Matsu Borough School District prepares all students for success. Beliefs: we believe that the needs and best interests of students drive all decisions. All students can and want to learn. Participation of stakeholders is crucial to student success. Our guiding principles: stewardship, accountability, empathy, quality, integrity, respect, collaboration, commitment. Our goals: we will improve student success, achievement, and performance. We will increase the graduation rate. We will maintain and continuously improve safe and healthy environments for our students and staff. Our schools will welcome families and community members in the education of our youth.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to ask Linda Jo Klaperick, teacher at Palmer Junior Middle School, to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I've always gone.
Would someone please move the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, we will now move on to persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Madam Clerk, will you please read the rules?
Under the agenda item, persons to be heard on non-agenda items, the following guidelines apply. The speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. The agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-age children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard, or may be handled in executive session, or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. Maximum of 1 hour per meeting. And no one is signed up.
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to come forward at this time and be heard on any non-agenda item? Seeing none, we will now move on to borough and city reports. Mayor Cottle, would you like to step forward?
Superintendent Goett, Dr. Dierman, President, board members, I have just a couple items. This Saturday at the Menard Center from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. is a 2017 fitness competition expo. There'll be a fitness competition. There'll be Rick Meistrom will be there from Anchorage to talk about diabetes. He just came out with a new book. There will be the Centennial Swimsuit Edition from the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. I'm told they've already come out with a calendar, so that'll be kind of fun. There'll be a dance slash Zumba presentation to be food trucks, and it's supposed to be orientated towards family friendly, so it'll be a lot of fun. Also, I handed out earlier to Stacy a copy of, we found out where Mr. Larson, board member Larson, went to school, and so we have obtained that school. It's a territorial school. That school is located down on Fairview Loop. And the borough, so it sits on borough land now. They've deeded it over to us. And so in the next 2 years, MEA is going to do that new power line through that area. So when they do that, we're going to go in and pick that school up and move it out to Menard Center. And it's our hope to restore that back to as much original as we can, and then we can use that for different functions that we do out there. So anyway, it's a neat old school. We think it was built either in the late teens or the early 20s. That's about all the research we can find. So anyway, but we'll keep you up to date when we move it, and we'll let everybody know so you can come take a look at it. So thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Cottle. I do not see the city manager, Mr. Wallace from Palmer, here. So we will move on now to the superintendent's update.
So welcome, everyone, to our first regularly scheduled school board meeting of fiscal year 18. Even though we did have a special meeting last week, this is our first official one, first superintendent's report. And one of the things that is always a measure of success for us is how our students turn out in adulthood. And so it is just such a pleasure to introduce the Miss Alaska, Angelina Klaprick. She was born and raised here in the Valley. Her mom, Linda Jo Klaprick, is a Mat-Su Borough School District Teacher of the Year in our district for 25 years. And it's a pleasure to introduce you to Angelina. I've asked her to just come and talk about her platform to us. This isn't just something that she chose, but that I have known her for probably a decade now, something that she authentically has emulated since her early years. So welcome. We'd like you to come up here and tell us what you're going to be doing in the next couple months.
Thank you so much, Dr. Goye. I truly have so much respect for everyone that's sitting here and for giving up your time. So thank you so much for inviting me to speak. So first of all, yes, I'm Angelina Klaprick. Just 2 months ago, I was crowned Miss Alaska 2017. And I truly attribute so much of my success to the incredible education that I received here in the Mat-Su Borough School District. I attended Finger Lake Elementary School, Palmer Junior Middle School, and then Colony High School. And I just truly have felt so connected and loved in every classroom I've been in and every teacher that I've truly interacted with here in the school district. And I think that makes our district just so unique, like the family, tight-knit atmosphere that I have truly felt throughout my whole life. So now, as Miss Alaska, throughout the year, I get to promote a particular platform that I have chosen that I feel really passionate about. And my platform, I've entitled it, Be Compassionate, Every Person Fights a Personal Battle. And I just think that's something that we can all relate to on some level. I truly believe that like the main causes of so many of our social problems, whether it's suicide, domestic violence, bullying, so many social problems boil down to a lack of compassion. You know, I just graduated with my degree in psychology from UAA in May, and I did a lot of research on the true power of compassion. And compassion is to try to see things from another person's perspective, putting yourself in their shoes and trying to be more understanding rather than judgmental. And I know that we really try to cultivate that here in our school district. And I know that the Capturing Kids' Hearts program is the perfect way to model and teach compassion in our schools. And I think that that's really exciting that we've implemented that in our district. And lastly, also, I mean, I would be honored to speak and to teach at as many schools as possible throughout this year. So, and any teachers or any opportunities to just come into the classrooms or to assemblies and speak about this topic, I would really be excited about. Stanford University has a compassion training program. I've learned some really great tools with that. I give out bracelets that are a really tangible way for kids and adults to have this as a reminder on their wrist. And very lastly, on the 12th of this month, I just want to invite you to come to Evangelos. That's not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. We're just doing a big, fun public event. It's like a send-off kind of party for me before I head off to Miss America. And I'll be speaking about my platform of compassion. I'll be playing the piano. And it's just going to be a fun thing for our community to come together. I've been here my whole life, and it's just going to be a really fun celebration. So that's Saturday the 12th, 5:30 at Evangelos. So thank you so much for your time and for creating a compassionate school district in the role that you play in that. So thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. And you'll need to, if you don't stay till the very end, tune in, because I know all of our board members and their ending comments will all be sure and wish you well. They're always so good about wanting to congratulate all of our kids, and we're really proud of you. All right, so last night we had our borough assembly meeting, and the sales tax was up for discussion for those board members that have previous commitments and those in the audience. The message that we're hearing from our cities and from our local business people is that they support education, and they recognize that our revenues are decreasing while our expenditures are going up. Much of the concern is around really the logistics, the technicalities of a sales tax, and economic viability. And so the assembly voted to postpone the ordinance indefinitely. However, Dr. Doty introduced and tasked the borough manager to work with the cities, with the school district, and with local businessmen to try and find a solution that would work for all parties. And so the report is due on November 1st, so we anticipate over the next 90 days quite a bit of movement and progress on that. And I want you to know we're still committed and engaged to that, and still very hopeful that all cities have expressed that they are committed to working on this. They just want to work on the language. And so we're going to continue to engage in that process and hope that that this could show up in a January special election. Now moving on to things that we love to hear about. How many kids are going to come this year? So right now we're having a slide come up. And this is our enrollment comparison from this year. It'll refresh here in just a second. There we go. So this is an enrollment comparison, what you're looking. And it is on your left is last year on this date, we had 64% of our students enrolled, which we were 64% of the way to 18,819. This year, we're projecting almost 300 more students, and as of today, we're 65% towards that projection. So we're right on track for where we are in our trends. And if you'll look at this next slide, we are we're about 500 students over where we were last year at this time. So we do believe that we are going to easily meet our projection of 300. And certainly hope that that might continue to be a little bit more. A lot of the news that you're hearing about right now at the assembly and our local news is about really a boom in detached fourplexes. Certainly as a district, we don't weigh in on that, but it is a sign to us that there's probably a lot of young families moving in and with a lot of young school children. So we're just really keeping an eye on that. But we're very excited that our numbers are coming in as expected and a little bit higher, not much, than last year. And so the last thing I just want to give a shout out to, we had a couple students, Ryan Syracusa and Ruben Bond out of Wasilla, and they created a little petition online about high school starting later. And we know that teenagers always want high school to start later. And they have 235 supporters online. And they talk about their reasons for it with supporting evidence. They have interesting topics and articles that people could read. And I just really want to give a shout out to them. I'm going to reach out to them, encouraged to work through the student advisory board. Of course, this is a complicated issue. It's a financial issue. We recognize all teens want to sleep in, but really we would either have to choose to double our transportation budget or invert hours and have elementary kids out on the roads when it's really dark in the winter. So it's complicated. But I love this because this is a positive way to get engaged in the public process, and it's exactly what we want our kids doing. And it wasn't driven by grown-ups with their own agenda. They took their own initiative, and it's super positive and has some great facts supporting it. So shout out to them. And with that, that's what I have for the superintendent's update.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Goyette. We will not be having a student advisory board report this evening because our student advisor is not with us. So we will forego that. And at this time, we are going to take a short break because the board is going to take some photos with Miss Alaska. So if you will bear with us for a few minutes, we will take a short break.
Thank you.
We're going to need another.
Okay, thank you for your indulgence. Would someone please make a motion to move the consent agenda, which includes the minutes of June 7th, 2017, minutes of June 12th and 13th, 2017, certified new hires, and Gateway Community Council grant.
I move the consent agenda as was just read.
Second.
I'll second that.
It has been moved and seconded. Is there any objection? Seeing none, we will now move on to action items.
I move action item A, new course approval, college test preparation.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. Is there anyone who would like to make public comment on this? Do we have an administrative report?
We provided an administrative report in our last school board meeting, regularly scheduled, but Assistant Superintendent Spargo is available for any questions the board may have.
Are there any questions or comments from the board? Seeing none, the board will now vote. That item passes unanimously. We will now move on to action item B.
I'll move action item B, social and emotional learning.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded. Is there anyone from the audience who would like to make comment on this item? We also had an administrative report last board meeting, before. Are there any comments or questions from the board? Seeing none, the board will vote. That too passes unanimously. We will now move on to action item C.
I move action item C.
Second.
Action item C has been moved and seconded. That is assistant principal hire Wasilla High School. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to make public comment on this? Do we have an administrative report?
Actually, we do. It's my pleasure to invite Assistant Superintendent Amy Spargo up to give it.
Good evening, Dr. Goyette, Dr. Dierman, members of the board. I would like to introduce Carol Boatman, my friend and colleague from Wasilla High School. She is the principal there, and like all of our large comprehensive high schools, they have two assistant principals who work 218 days. So they have been hard at work for a while. Football and cheerleading started in July. They have over 100 students coming to school every day already. So pending your approval, Carol will introduce her new assistant principal, Kelly Mackey.
Good evening, Dr. Goyette, Dr. Dierman, and board members. It's great to be here this evening. It's super exciting to already be starting school, well, for administration anyways, and to see athletics going on. I have the great pleasure of introducing our assistant principal, new to Wasilla High School. Her name is Kelly Mackey. She comes to us from Jacksonville, Florida, where she taught for 16 years at a high school level. She taught general ed, special education, advanced placement. She coached, and she also mentored new teachers coming into the building specifically. Then they came up to Alaska last year and fell in love and decided to work for the Matsu Borough School District specifically. She called Lucy Hope and said, "Hey, do you have any jobs?" And Lucy says, "Absolutely." And she started working at McIntosh Elementary at the Behavior Support Program. We're super excited to add her to Wasilla High School with her bringing her expertise for working with new teachers, specifically behavior support, and having that broad range of differentiated instruction to help support curriculum and instruction at Wasilla High. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Kelly Mackey, new assistant principal, hopefully.
Thank you. Good evening, board members, superintendents, Mrs. Boatman. Thank you for the opportunity to have this position in your borough. It was exciting to get here. Like she said, I spent 16 years in Jacksonville, Florida, being an educator there, high school and elementary level, working with Title I schools, students with high needs, with behavior and with their learning. We did come on vacation, and I did leave with a job, and I did call up Ms. Hope and say, "Hey, do you have any jobs? I'm here." And my family moved up here within the next month, and it's been the best move for us. McIntosh was a wonderful school to work for. The principal, when she interviewed me, I said, "My goal is to leave your school. I'm sorry, but I want to move up in the world." And this district has been a great district. The students, particularly, are wonderful, And I'm very excited to get to Wasilla High and get back to that high school roots and work with those kids that need me. There are kids that need me out there, and I think that I'll be a great choice.
Member Lysham, before I call on you, I have to say something. Duval County to Matsu.
Yeah.
Miami-Dade County to Matsu. So Florida in the Matsu.
Represent. All right. It's lovely here. You can't leave. I mean, you...
It kind of creeps into your bones.
It does.
Yeah, except sometimes during the winter, you kind of start to wonder. But at any rate, that's a whole other issue. Member Larson.
I won't hold that against her.
Okay. Stop.
In Florida. So you're coming out of Florida and seeing all the different programs and all the different innovative stuff out of Florida. What do you plan on bringing into Wasilla High School that may be different?
I think I've had the opportunity where I came from in Duval County to work with a lot of different students at different age levels, but a lot of different problems. And I was right there next to them with their parents and their teachers and administrators, helping to solve their problems and making their lives a little bit easier at school, at home, in the community. And I'm thinking right now about when I coached, working with the young ladies at the high school level. They have a lot to say, and there's a lot going on, and I became kind of a mentor for them. So I think that at Wasilla High, I'll be able to offer not even firmness and following rules and making goals and getting kids to where they need to be, but also having that empathetic ear and understanding what they need besides just in academics, but also their social emotional learning. So I think I have a lot of that I can offer the students.
Being at going from the elementary to the high school, although you have worked in high schools before, do you see any problem with that jump?
No, I think it's getting settled back in the old ways that I used to do it. Spoke to Ms. Boatman about getting up early. That'll be an adjustment. But getting back to those students, I love that age level. Like, coaching was the best thing that I did at the high school level. Seeing them perform in the classroom and then outside the classroom was exciting. So I'm very excited to get back into that routine.
What grade did you teach at McIntyre?
I did BSP, Behavior Support Program.
And you're leaving McIntyre, huh?
And I'm leaving McIntyre.
That's a bad thing.
I know. My daughter will still be there for fifth grade.
So you'll still be dropping
in. So I'll be around. I told Ms. Dowd anything she needs.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Would you like to introduce your family?
Sure. Can I?
Yes. Since they're here with you in the audience.
They can stand up. My daughter, Sophie Mackey, she's, like I said, fifth grade at Mocatons, and my husband, Tim Mackey, who actually was offered a job, and I guess it approved, a job at Reddington High School. So we're going to build our family right here in the borough, so we're very excited to be here and start that.
Very nice. Congratulations. Welcome. Yes, we're going to do that. Well, I was congratulating the family, not her. Okay, so now the board will vote, because we have to be official with you. So is the board ready to vote? Welcome and congratulations, Ms. Boatman. You have a good one.
Thank you.
Okay, now where are we? Will someone please move action item D, Connick Elementary School and Sherrod Elementary School K-5.
I move action item D, Connick Elementary School and Sherrod Elementary School K-5.
Second. It has been moved and seconded. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to make public comments on this item? Do we have an administrative report?
We do. I'd like to invite Assistant Superintendent Amy Spargo up to do the report. This is just some technical work with the state regarding our blended academy. So this is, the board has received reports on the blended academy. We certainly can answer questions around those, but Mrs. Spargo is just going to talk about the technical aspects of it.
Good evening again. So as Dr. Goyette said, we have placed our blended academy that was approved by DEED in schools that have only grades 3, 4, and 5. And our blended academy starts in kindergarten. And so in order to count students for our annual count in October, we have to have the grades at the school that the students are registering in. And so when Commissioner Johnson approved, the first item on his list of things to do was formally request that the state change the categorization of Kinnick and Sherrod from 3-5 to K-5. And there are a few other things that we are looking at. We look at enrollment, and we do have fewer students enrolled. So next week, or in 2 weeks, when we do our board report on innovative programs, we'll give you a lot more details about how the blended academy is fleshing out.
Are there any questions or comments from the board? Seeing none, we will take our vote, and that too passes. Moving on to non-action items. Action item A, board vision, mission, beliefs, goals, and principles. Would anyone from the audience like to make public comment on this item? Do we have an administrative report?
Yes, Dr. Dierman, we do. During our board retreat on June 12th and 13th, I'm going to have Mrs. Spargo pull up the PowerPoint on board goals. They'll be moving that forward for us. We updated some of our overarching guiding beliefs, so I'd just like to go through those, and then we will be going through our objectives for you. We will be doing kind of the high-level objectives through a PowerPoint, but there is a reference sheet for board members that was in the board packet last week. We tried to make that a little bit more user-friendly in the way that you read it, so that you can just kind of each goal has a one-page sheet attached to it. So with that, our vision has stayed the course as Matsu Borough School District will be a model of excellence in teaching, learning, and engaging all students. And one of the things that we were explicit about with our principals, our mission did not change, but I don't think that everyone is aware of the board's explicitness in the Matsu Borough School District prepares all students for success. This came when we actually visited another district, and that district, they were explicit that they served all kids, not just the kids in their district, and they did that by freely sharing all of the work that they did in curriculum and their technology blueprints and their professional development. And I think as one of the 5 large districts in our state, this really shows that spirit of collaborative education, because we do have larger staffs and we can do scope and sequences and teacher evaluation work that just isn't possible in smaller rural schools. So that's something that we as a district are very mindful of and making our time available to other districts and all of our work. And we really appreciate the board's sentiment on that. And I want you to know that we take that very serious. Our beliefs, our first two beliefs, we believe that the needs and best interest of students drive all decisions, stayed the same, and all students can and want to learn. But one of the things that we did add is that choice wasn't reflected in our belief statements, and so that was something that the board chose to add, and that's underlined. Educational choices and community participation are essential to student success. So in looking at our goals, this was the primary area that the school board chose to adjust. And right now, the governor has an Alaska Education Challenge that's driven through the Commissioner of Education, Michael Johnson, with 5 goals aligned around improving student learning, ensuring excellent educators, modernizing the education system, inspiring tribal and community ownership, and promoting safety and well-being. So as a board, we sat down and looked at the existing board goals that you had and revised them really to reflect our MATSU priorities, but also in align with the state as the state evolves and hopefully drives initiatives around those goals. So goal number one, broaden from learning. I think it was really important to the board that that also included student success in all areas. So improve student success, achievement, and performance. In the area of goal number two, the primary difference is that we want to develop excellent educators, and we also want to develop excellent leaders. And our Leadership Academy that Mrs. Spargo launched last year, I think, is an excellent example of that work. Goal number three, use innovative practices to improve the education system. And I want to note that this statewide committee on modernization and the funding system is something that Assistant Superintendent Fulp is a participant on. Goal number four is to include families and community members in the education of our students. And goal number five, to promote safe and healthy environments for all. So the way that we, our guiding principles have stayed the same, but the board developed an anchor sentence so that when we're really reading those, it's explicit to the community that they are guiding principles that drive the decisions in our responsibility to our students, families, and community. And those are stewardship, accountability, empathy, or compassion, quality, integrity, respect, collaboration, and commitment. And so when we sat down to work on our objectives, we aligned all of our objectives under your five goals. And so we really think that that is important in driving your priorities forward. And so I'm going to invite Assistant Superintendent Spargo and Assistant Superintendent Fulp up to the podium, and they will go over the objectives that are aligned with each of those goals for you. Are there any questions on the vision, mission, beliefs, or principles before we move on to objectives?
All right. Okay, so the first goal is really the meat and potatoes of what Office of Instruction does. We are primarily focused on improving student success, achievement, and performance. And we have developed four objectives that will encompass a lot of different tasks. I want to highlight just a couple of them. We want to develop student leadership, and we're going to do that through really promoting the Flippin' Group or Capturing Kids' Hearts teen leadership class, and we're fortunate to have that offered to all freshmen in at Colony High and Wasilla High this year, so we're expecting big things there. And we're also going to tap into the resources that our students have with multimedia and create videos that promote a lot of the opportunities in our district that we heard from the board were enough kids didn't know those about those things, and we're going to really promote those on social media. We're going to implement research-based best practices to increase our graduation rate, and our primary new focus there is going to be on ninth graders. We did a lot of work with 12th graders last year, but really we're going to keep close track of ninth graders who are on track to graduate. Increasing opportunities for personalized learning, again, that's a multifaceted objective, but the primary way we're going to help all schools move along that is using the personalized learning platform Silverback, which will help teams of teachers or even individual teachers know exactly where each student is and what their needs are with regards to student achievement, but also then to match their needs to online resources where students can work in small groups at the level that they need to. And we started that training at the first principal meeting. And lastly, you heard me talk about this at the board retreat. We want to increase the use of MAP, our measures of academic progress, to target instruction, and our focus is to grow the green. We want to see greater than 60% of every site on grade level, and one way we're doing that is all of our students grades 2 through 10 will take MAP in the fall and the spring. And so for the first time in about 3 years since we stopped doing the standards-based assessments, we'll actually have a comprehensive standardized assessment view of our student performance in the district. Going. So your goal number two is new to us, but again, if student achievement is the target, then we really believe that teachers and leaders are doing the best they can, and if we expect them to improve, then we need to help them with that development. So we have three goals here focused at three different, three targets focused at three different subgroups of employees. We have our leaders, our teachers, and we're also working with our classified staff in this area. So as Dr. Goyette mentioned, the Working with Leaders is the Leadership Academy, and we also are going to be offering a 2-credit class for principals at SAMS on personalized learning. For teachers, we have SAMS and FAMS. Right now, FAMS has 257 teachers participating in pre-service training. And our high-quality professional development for social and emotional learning is centered around capturing kids' hearts and trauma-informed schools. And this year, we're adding 10 schools to our trauma-informed schools in a partnership with the Matsu Health Foundation.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Spargo. The way that we laid out these slides and with the goals is we listed left to right, Office of Instruction first and Business Services second. That was deliberate. What we want to do is we want to ensure that Business Services is coming in behind and supporting all the educational initiatives that we're here for. So with that in mind, specifically with goal number 2 is we know that in order for our teachers and educators to be in the classroom and not be distracted, they need our systems to be operating the way they're designed to operate. We need to ensure and make sure that they feel comfortable with the services we're providing. Specifically, if they're distracted and worried about not getting a paycheck, that's a problem, right? That distracts them from the classroom. So those types of support services are where we're making sure that we're supporting this goal for the school board. Not specifically, we're pretty comfortable with our payroll process, so we don't think we're going to miss any payrolls. But one of the things that we do want to make sure folks are aware of are their benefits package and total compensation. And so that's one of the things that we really want to build capacity into our employees this year. We want to evaluate current health insurance plan costs and benefits. We're going to do that by exploring and continuing efforts to obtain health insurance census and aggregate claims data from the Public Employee Health Trust. We really know that this is a huge priority for the school board. It's a huge cost for us, over 15% of our budget, $40 million annually, and we're really not going to accept no for an answer when it comes to requesting that data that we believe would help us in evaluating the value of our health insurance costs. In exploring those health plan alternatives, we intend to make sure that our workforce understands the cost behind it, the benefits package they're receiving, the value of it, and the total compensation package that they're receiving as a district. We have year-over-year increases with our benefits, namely health insurance, which eat up a lot of our ability and operating expenses and budgets that could be directed elsewhere and potentially into their salary. So it's important that they understand all of the components that we're funding to support their efforts as we're attempting to recruit and retain the very best. And that leads us into our third category, improve recruitment, hiring, and retention efforts. Ms. Katie Gardner, our Executive Director of Human Resources and Payroll, has done a phenomenal job with this. Some of the things that she's outlined for her department in the coming year is additional administrative training with hiring, updating the recruitment plan for growing our own in some of our special categories, specifically special education assistance, and then also implementing some web-based initiatives. So we heard loud and clear during the board retreat that this was going to be a focus of the board's recruitment, hiring, and retention. We plan to focus on those this year.
We hear a lot of talk about innovation. Last night at the borough meeting, we heard people testify that we need to think outside the box. So we are working hard to think outside the box, and we're finding out that there's some challenges in that there's a lot of inertia in public education. We are a long-standing traditional institution that it takes, like the Titanic, it takes a lot to change, to turn the direction. And we're working on piloting some innovative models as well as continuing to improve the things that were started last year. We're very fortunate in this area that we have Executive Director Justin Ainsworth, who is heading up a lot of these initiatives with a team of hardworking ed techs. And we're thrilled with the progress that was made last year. In particular, we're working on the blended academies at Kinnick and Sherrod. And then we have some classrooms that are actually going to pilot a blended model as well at Pioneer Peak, another during the day classroom at Sherrod, and one at Sutton. We're adding one-to-one initiatives at 8 more schools. And so at the end of this year, we should have 30% of our schools will be at one-to-one initiatives. We're going to expand the Tech Expo. We've moved ANSEPT over to CTHS. That's a dual credit option program that
is functioning like a lab school. They have a completely different model than the rest of the school, and we'll be working out of portables and sharing space there with the CTHS students. And then we have another pilot going on in personalized learning at Burchell High School, where they won a national grant to, they were selected. They didn't actually get money. They got training for free to implement Summit Learning, and that's coming out of the Chan Zuckerberg Institute, the Facebook founder. And they've had their staff down at training last week in Spokane, and on we talk about industry's dime, and industry is investing in one of our very own schools, and that's an exciting project that we will bring before you as the year goes on as well.
Okay, so on the business services side of things, one of the big things that came up during the board retreat that we really made sure that we represented within the goals and objectives is to advance fiscal policies and financial planning efforts to ensure the best possible outcomes for students. A couple ways that we're going to do that is actually as a part of the budget document and the budget process in general, it's important that we link your board goals to the way that the board directs funds within the budget process. And so we intend to make that a little bit more clear for folks who read and look at the work that's done by the school board. There's ways that we can link strategic plans, such as the planning that goes on the goals here, with the actual expenditures that are allocated within the budget. So we intend to kind of enhance those that transparency there and make sure the priorities are represented within the budget document. Additionally, the fiscal policy, specifically what we're going to focus on, is MSB Matsuburo Code 3.04.110. That is reporting and lapse of appropriation. That one specific local ordinance or code kind of holds us back in two specific areas. One is that lapse requirement for any increase in unassigned fund balance. It used to be 50% of any increase, and in 2013 it was rolled back to 25%. But we heard during the discussion at the board retreat that we'd like that to go away altogether and allow us to continue to save where we think we need to and manage our reserves appropriately. We think we have that capacity and ability to do so. And so we're looking for that to change into the future. And then the other thing that we want to do with that, and the reason why they're linked, well, I'll get to the first part. The other thing that we want to do with that code is to eliminate the restriction on any reserves for encumbrances from prior years. And so the reason why those are linked under the same code is because it's kind of a control mechanism where if there's a lapse payment that's required, the borough does not want us to encumber funds at the end of the year to eliminate unspent reserves. So it's kind of like one of those things that would be a control in place, but if there's no lapse payment, there's would be no need for them to have that control, and it would really free things up for us in terms of planning and making those procurement efforts in the summer where it's a big project season for trying to get school up and going in August. So those are some focus areas. We plan on identifying and communicating a plan around that this spring when we engage with the borough. The other things that we're looking at doing in terms of supporting goal number three is continuing modernization of enabling technology infrastructure. This is tied to our five-year technology roadmap. A couple areas where we're focused on enabling infrastructure this school year is classroom displays. We've updated a number of projectors throughout the district, and that will be our interactive display in those schools. There was a lot of concern with how bright those projectors were, and we got new projectors in some of those classrooms, and so that will help those teachers. And then we also have teacher devices rollout. This is the fourth year of the rollout for new teacher devices, and continues to be an effort of ours in technology. And then lastly, our technology department will be responsible for the project management of the implementation of a new student information system. So that project timeline has begun. We're in the beginning phases of evaluating what are the performance requirements of a new system, and that will continue on for several years until we're ready for implementation in FY20. So we need to begin now thinking about what are the needs and what are the functions that we really need that system to be able to do for our school system.
So goal number four is around family and community members in the education of our students, that we want to include them. So through the Office of the Superintendent, we will be working on increasing awareness and influence for long-term local and state funding. We certainly spent a lot of time on that over this summer, and will continue to do so. And some of the things that we really want to talk about with folks are the way that the state foundation formula works. When our borough is growing and our tax base is growing, the state assumes that the money from the borough will grow. And so when it doesn't, it not only does it hurt us at a local level, it reduces funding from a state level. We want to increase opportunities to build legislative, borough, and city relationships. We're very excited that Jillian Morsi has joined our office as the new public information officer. She spent a portion of her graduate work in a lobbyist firm in Washington, D.C., and already, as I came in this morning, was ready to pivot on our work and has new strategies, and I just love her positive way of approaching public education. And we want to strengthen our business, parent, and community relationships.
In this area, Office of Instruction is also working to increase communication with parents and families regarding student progress and student choice options. We are going to really make sure that we've communicated progress reports, report cards, those kinds of things to all of our district students via the Blackboard Connect. We're going to promote our choice options in site newsletters and websites where we create those items here at district office and push them out to schools, who push them out to parents, instead of just relying on it individually to get put on their websites. Tracy Peterson's going to help with the kindergarten fair, and we are fortunate to have Executive Director Reese Everett, who is going to kick off the inauguration of a high school fair, which is a celebration of all the variety of choice that's happening in our high schools. Then, similar to the Tech Expo, well, probably not as big as the Tech Expo, but similar, we'll be inviting parents in the fall to learn about what we're doing in our high schools.
Okay, lastly, for business services, with this goal number four, we are going to be making some updates to the district's website. Those will be rolled out sometime in October, but it'll be a new version of the website that's both responsive and friendly for mobile devices. And we look towards not only that, but it's going to be fully integrated with Blackboard Connect, and so it'll allow teacher messaging capabilities that don't exist currently within our system that are more robust. We're also going to look to update and publish pupil transportation resources and contact information on the website that really helps parents understand who to call when and how to understand the connection between the bus contractor and the district and getting issues resolved, such as bus stop requests and late bus information as it comes up. We want our website to be a central point where parents go to, knowing who to call when. And then lastly, we intend to create a support page for businesses, parents, community memberships for both monetary contributions and in-kind services. If there's any donations that folks would like to make to the district, we want to have a place on our website for that. There are tax incentives that the state supports, and we just want to make folks aware of those tax incentives, and we'll make sure that that's available on our website should anyone want to donate.
I actually love that idea.
Last, our last goal around safe and healthy environments really focuses on implementing our social and emotional learning continuum. And we've been fortunate to partner with the Matsu Health Foundation. Curriculum coordinator Gianna DePriest has been an active at pursuing that partnership and really sharing information with them and helping move things forward in this area. Part of our grant funds we've gotten from Matsu Health Foundation and an obesity grant, helping with students making healthy decisions. We hired a social and emotional learning coordinator, and Lisa Stewart's going to be joining our office. One of the first things she's going to do is offer a flight for principals on how to help increase the social and emotional learning, not just of students, but of staff. We recognize that it's an incredibly stressful job, and that as we're asking more from people with larger class sizes, that we need to help them reflect and grow skills on growth mindset and resiliency and grit and all those things. We're also furthering our positive action in the elementary schools. Executive Director Tracy Peterson is coming from an elementary school and brings a wealth of knowledge to us about how to create a safe and civil school. Her school was recognized before Congress even for some of the procedures and expectations she's put in. And she's going to help Lisa with implementing PBIS in all of our schools, and then we're moving our positive action onto the middle schools, and so we're hoping to grow that explicit curriculum as well.
Okay, I have a kind of a longer list on this one for business services. This was kind of our catch-all because there wasn't one. In years past, we had a goal that was related to a physical plant and school environment, and we felt like this was kind of that same category for us under the new goals for the board. So I'm going to go through a brief list. This includes a focus on enhancing occupational safety efforts this year. A couple of things that we're going to do is we're going to develop and implement annual workplace inspections in conjunction with the school safety inspections. We're going to assess and update the district's HAZCOM plans to include labeling, standards, documentation, and protective measures. And then our human resources department is going to ensure that all state required employee training modules are available on Safe Schools, which is our online employee training program for safety within the workplace. Under expanding or exploring opportunities to expand recycling and energy management programs, we have a couple different pilots going on in our facilities department. The first is a pilot for a district-wide recycling program. Currently, many of our schools, the vast majority of our schools, already have recycling programs in place. This would just be to evaluate how could we do it on a district-wide level and really fund that from the district side of things, as opposed to asking the schools to do it. So we started with Pioneer Peak Elementary, Colony Middle School, and Colony High School. We're working with waste management, and we're also doing waste stream analysis and kind of exploring the possibilities of expanding that program into the future. And then we're also looking at energy management programs where we have more robust dashboards that allow us to kind of raise awareness for energy awareness and use in schools, and also for community use, being able to identify the hours of the day in which we're really utilizing those utilities and making sure we're attributing appropriate costs for community use. And then moving on, improving safety and well-being for students and staff. We look forward to doing a school bus safety training for elementary students. We're going to develop grade level appropriate training and try to roll that out at some of our elementary schools this year. Improve emergency preparedness communications through making checklists, contacts, and procedures available electronically through an app that our administrators can download onto their phone. In fact, most of them have already downloaded this app to their phone. And then also we're going to improve safety and security infrastructure by leveraging the board CIP authorization that you made last spring to maintain that school safety and security line item within our CIP fund. And then lastly, to promote and increase the district's participation in school meal program, we've done a couple things. We're going to continue to market the presence of School Cafe, which is our online payment program, and create posters and other media to really promote our food service program in schools, get kids excited about that, and also parents, making sure they know how to utilize the online payment. We've eliminated the convenience fee for the online payment to help promote that as well. And then we're looking to increase the meal participation in schools through the expansion of the USDA's community eligible provision, the CEP program, where it's a program that's supported by the USDA for low-income schools where they meet a specific threshold. And for those schools that meet that, we're reimbursed for a certain percentage of the meals, and all students can eat for free every day, and there's no requirement for the application. So it's a great program. We currently have it. We had it last year in three schools, and we're expanding it to 9 more. And so we look to that to increase meal participation and help also make sure that this food service fund is self-supporting. That was part of the way that we were able to reduce a deficit in the food service fund last year's increase in the meal participation.
So that is the completion of our report. We are happy to answer any questions that board members may have.
Member Larson.
Thank you. I have It's like I didn't even write down. I got about a billion questions on this presentation. And what that amounts to is I'm glad that we're going out and being totally innovative from whiteboards to mentoring, our new vice principals and teachers. And there's so much in this presentation that I could ask questions all day long, all night long. So I don't know if there's a method that over this next year that we could get like no more than 10 or 15 minute snippets at our meeting on various areas within this for informational. Because as our staff were talking and you were talking, I have a lot of questions, but I know that they're answered already. It's just that the lack of knowledge that I may have in some of these areas. And just consider that. Thank you.
We'd be happy to, we could focus on those in each of the board connects over the next week and articulate them a little bit more, but we could also over the next five board meetings, take each one of the goals and just open them up for questions. We already had planned in the spring, starting in April, we were gonna report out on each goal one at a time. So that we weren't giving so much information all at once. If you recall in the board retreat, we spent the whole first evening reporting out. So we already had planned through April to report out that way, but I like the suggestion of moving into this school year and addressing each of those over the next board meetings. It would be up to the board then if they would want to adopt this at this time or if they would want to adopt one goal and objective set at a time.
If I may, I don't want to throw a monkey wrench in here. I think it would be worthwhile, not only for this board, but for our community. We talk about, after observing that fabulous borough meeting last night, and some of the people that presented at that meeting were totally unaware of what we're doing. And I don't know if they look at our website. I don't know if they look at anything. But it would be nice for our students as well as our parents and the community to know what we're kind of doing. So if it goes out on the Board Connect or in this meeting, that information's there. Although you know you're doing something correct when you have an audience like we have tonight, okay, instead of the audience that we saw at the Borough Assembly. For my information, Board Connect's fine too, on just snippets of information on what we're doing on these agendas. We set this, you guys have taken off with it, but like last year when we went on the tour, because we're really lacking in information on some of the programs that are in our own school district, and we're school board members for crying out loud, it'd just be nice to see that kind of stuff continuing as we grow, because all these programs, a lot of them are very new and very innovative, and I'd like to see us keep abreast of it. Thank you.
Member Michelson.
So I think that innovation tour that we took back in the spring is something that we should be doing annually, and we can tie it in with this document probably. I know that we changed the goals, and they're sitting in front of us here, and you have clearly fleshed them out and made them pretty tangible in what we're doing. My comment was going to be that we not try to consume all of that tonight or even in the next couple of months, because that is a huge undertaking. Some things are already in progress, obviously, and others are going to be initiated. But just the whole idea of doing periodic updates to it, maybe more frequently than annually, so we can become a little bit closer, more closely attached, I guess, to the work that's being done, just through an update. But it wouldn't have to be an update, in my mind, of all five of the goals. It could be two out of the five, you know, something that's kind of worthy of our, attention and thought, I guess, at the time. And then by the end of the year, we will have done some kind of a pretty good review of the whole entire document, probably by spring. So I would just kind of offer that up. that I've got some more comments on it, but I'm going to wait, I think, till board comments for the rest of it. Thank you.
Member Rutherford.
One question and a couple of quick comments. The question, as far as progress, communicating progress goes, do we know yet when the peak results will be? Have they given us any feedback on that?
So the peak results will be at the beginning of September. And they will. We have 20 school days to get those out to our families. Once we receive those, within about 2 weeks, they'll be on the state website.
And I love the communicating progress to parents, working on doing that more clearly. If I could make just a quick and easy suggestion, is if someone would look at our report cards, or ask someone who's not an educator to look at our report cards, and maybe even someone who doesn't have a child in school, and give you some feedback on how clear they are, because the first time I saw one that was beyond elementary, which is just letters, numbers, I was confused. The layout of the report card progress report is not intuitive to a parent who's not an educator. The first one I saw, I had to ask a whole bunch of questions to understand it. We have acronyms on there, we have abbreviations, we have things kind of in a weird sequence with the progress report after the quarter column, and it just wasn't logical to me, and that would be one tiny thing that would help us communicate to progress to parents a little bit better. And then thank you for recycling analysis. Waste stream analysis, I wish Charlie was here, because in Student Advisory Board, we've talked for several years about what a waste stream analysis is and how you can benefit from it in their little recycling group. So they'll be really happy to see that and watch how it happens. And the website update, I guess, is that something like, will it just one day look completely different? Or is this an evolving thing? Or how does that happen?
We're going to roll it out in October, and so it will happen fairly quickly. We're intentional about October. We really were very mindful that staff were going to be coming back to a much higher workload, and so we did not, even though we're ready and could do that right now, we wanted to get that initial push that happens with the beginning of the school year. So we will make sure that we're communicating out to everyone, but all sites will have a similar template and all to the district template. There's a stationary menu on the side with icons that will be similar as you move from site to site. So we were really intentional. There were layers of groups that looked at that to really make sure that it was more intuitive and more user-friendly for our families.
Are there any other questions? Okay. We now have a fall budget revision report. Mr. Folt.
Thank you. The fall budget revision is not a typical revision that we do. We typically would come before you after the October 20-day count for the winter budget revision. But given the legislature's late adjournment and final changes to the budget, we have some final adds for the pupil transportation funding program. So I'm going to turn this over now to Ashley Bjornson. Ashley is our finance director and has worked with Charity Phillips Little, our budget analyst, to prepare this budget adjustment for you. And she'll walk you through the different items. Thank you.
Good evening, President Dierman, Dr. Goyette, and board members. I'll be presenting the fall budget revision. So the first adjustment that we'll be discussing will be the revenue adjustment for the general fund. We're not receiving more revenue or less revenue. It is just an on-behalf payment correction. So the first schedule here shows our revenue by object without on-behalf depicted, and you can see that there's no change from the adopted budget. The next schedule shows the revenue by object, but our on-behalf TERS and PERS on-behalf payments are reflected here. And so what we're going to see in the revision tonight is that there is an adjustment to both the revenue and the expense side of the budget. The on-behalf is just an accounting entry, so there's no exchange of funds between the state and the district. It's just an accounting entry that reflects the state's on-behalf contribution for the Matsubara School District to the PERS and TERS retirement system. During the budget process, The on behalf was inflated due to the use of incorrect rates, so we've corrected that with the correct FY18 rates that are set per the state of Alaska. Our major expense adjustments will be the expense side of the on behalf payment correction that will match the revenue adjustments. The net effect will be zero. We also have a reduction to elementary class size. We have restoration of our accelerated learning funds. We have a reduction to our transportation subsidy and a reduction to our salary reserve. This is our staffing by function. Our transportation fund received additional revenue from the state of Alaska in the amount of $1.36 million. Our budget was based on the governor's budget, which was released in December. The budget that was just released by the state did include full funding. So what you'll see is in our transportation fund, that subsidy is reduced, and in our general fund, we're essentially achieving a savings. So that savings of $1.36 million was used to add 17 FTE to the budget, and that's adding 17 teachers to our elementary levels, which is reducing our elementary PTR.
I'm going to interrupt you there. Just so that the board is aware and those in the audience, the $1.3 million was not enough to completely cover the 17 full-time FTEs. What we did is we lowered K-2 by one and 3-5 by one, which allowed all of the large elementary schools to get an additional full-time teacher. So we did use some reserves to make sure that that was whole for each of those schools. As you're aware, the elementary schools took a very large hit last year. They went up by one, just as did secondary. They also lost the remainder of their instructional coaches the year before. They had lost half, and they lost half of a front office secretary. And so it wasn't possible to add a full-time FTE to all schools, so we prioritized that elementary level.
So here in the schedule, the expense by object, you can see the 17 FTE was added into the certificated salaries, so we're seeing an increase there. We're also seeing an increase that corresponds with our benefits. We see a decrease of $182,000 in our non-certificated salaries, and that's the salary contingency that Dr. Goyette was referring to. Our transfer to other funds is the reduction of the subsidy to the transportation fund, and that's because of the additional funding that we've received. With expense by function, we can see, again, those same changes. You can see that the teachers were added to the instruction function, and then also accelerated learning was added to the budget, and so we're seeing that amongst the different functions. It's in the instruction function. But accelerated learning was put back into the budget in addition to the 17 FTE, and that was allocated to the high schools on a per-scheduled pupil allocation.
So I'm going to interject there too and move that from the business services language into education to our side that I'm more used to. And this came around in the board meeting, and that real notion that equity, that students that are above grade level in advanced placement and international baccalaureate shouldn't have to pay for their core course expenses in math, science, social studies and language arts. And it was a reduction that we had made, and so that cost shift to parents meant that if my child was a year ahead in math, all of a sudden they were gonna have to pay a fee for that. So before, accelerated funds were just laid out across the district by pupil, regardless of whether or not you engaged in accelerated classes. So Mrs. Fargo and her staff looked at where kids are, and simply if this school had 100 and this school had 50, they divided that total number up between about $100,000. It was one whole teacher. So we're very pleased at the direction of the board to bring that up as an equity issue. And very pleased for our parents that that was something that we were at the secondary level able to make an adjustment on.
Okay. So on this schedule, you can see that our change from adopted is zero. But when we move to the next schedule, our change, this schedule includes on behalf. And again, this is just that on behalf adjustment that we're doing, which is just an accounting entry that's reflected on the revenue and expense side of the budget. When we look at the 70-30, which was repealed, but it is still a benchmark that we use to guide best practice, and that calculation does include the on-behalf adjustment, the on-behalf in it. So when we're looking here, because of the correction that we did, we are seeing that our instructional support is increasing slightly, and then what's allocated to instruction is decreasing. And that is because of the inflated on-behalf rates. In the transportation fund, we discussed this earlier. All we're seeing here is really a change in funding source for the revenue for the transportation fund. So rather than subsidizing this fund with the general fund, which we're still doing, we are reducing that subsidy by $1.36 million, and that is due to the increased funding that was received, that will be received from the state of Alaska. For the expense side, we have no changes. It's the same expense budget. All we're changing in this fund, again, is the funding source. Are there any questions?
Member Larson.
Term that jumped up that I'm not quite sure of. What is salary reserves?
So our salary reserves and salary contingency, it's the accounts that we have to... we project what our salaries will be, but based on step movement, based on positions being vacated and new individuals coming in at maybe a salary decrease or increase, there's salary reserves that can be used during the winter and spring revision to essentially accommodate those changes in salaries across the district. Best practice is really to have a salary contingency of about 1%, and currently our contingency with this reduction is at it's at 0.7%. So it's just a best practice to reserve money for unforeseen salary expenditures with a budget of our size.
Okay, thank you.
One of the things that we did when we did not receive the request of funding that we got from the borough, we went in and lowered our salary contingencies, and we also lowered what we had in our substitute teaching funds. Sometimes principals will hire additional subs. It's really common in elementary. You might get a kindergartner in new in the year that's never been in school and needs a little bit of a shadow for a little while, and they would hire them as a supplemental for maybe a week. Those are all budgets that we lowered to try to offset not having to increase class size anymore.
Thank you, Ms. Bjornson. We will now move on to persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Madam Clerk, would you like to remind?
Seeing no one new in the audience, please state your name and you have 3 minutes.
Is there anyone who would like to address the board on non-agenda items? If so, please come forward, state your name, and you have 3 minutes. Mr. Haberman, please come forward.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself. Follow the public process. The public process done appropriately. Decision made by the governing body is more like in the public interest. Note, I do reside in Cinder Valley. My comments in respect to the history of what's been going on with the borough sales tax that was proposed at the, and we had a hearing last night at the borough assembly where some of you were present along with a few others. The city, there were different, I attend a lot of meetings. The city council of Palmer had a meeting, and on their agenda they had a resolution dealing with the borough sales tax. They went into a committee of the whole. In the committee hall, they introduced a substitute resolution that wasn't available prior to that. And then after they went out of the committee hall, they approved it. There was no chance for the public to be heard or even know what was in there. That's what happened. There was a comment afterwards when I protested during the meeting and closing comments. A council member said that we've been elected and we can do this. The people allow us to do this, and if they disagree, they can vote us out of office. That's how the response is, to provide a reasonable opportunity for the public to be heard. Now, you had you brought to the attention of the borough, when I say you, the school board, the need to deal with the sales tax proposal, and then this borough responded by having a public hearing on the sales tax. But prior to that hearing, you had a special meeting, and you had a resolution, and there was a, I was one of two people that spoke here, and I addressed concern that the resolution was on the website, but there was no hard copy in this room for the public. And it requires that you have a hard copy of that, and it was the very item. You ignored that, and you basically proceeded, and you approved that, and it was forwarded to the Borough Assembly for the assembly meeting that was last night. I've said these words from time to time in the meetings. The more complex and complicated an issue is, the more noise, the more opportunity for the public to be heard. But in closing, this issue needed to be discussed. And most strikingly, in closing this comment, and give me a second to give my thoughts, is this: the borough sales tax, the borough cannot dedicate. They can do whatever they want with the funds if it gets approved by the voters. But the situation is, the people, just 10 seconds on this last line here, the people were misled in a situation where they were thinking that if they support this situation, the borough sales tax, it was a vote for education, and that's not right. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to come forward and speak at this time? Seeing none, we will move on to future items and future business. On October 16th at 6 p.m., we will have a regular school board meeting here at Central Office. And on September 6th, we will have another regular school board meeting at 6 p.m. here at Central Office. And at this time, I would like to ask the board if they have anything that they would like to have considered for an... Oh, Dr. Welton, go right ahead.
Besides our board self-evaluation, which we may decide to do professional development around, the AASB does have its resolutions, so be thinking about any resolutions, new or revisions of the old ones, and you can go to the AASB website and become involved in that aspect. What the resolutions are, yes, they're very long and complicated and many resolutions, but they allow the Association of Alaska School Boards to lobby on those particular things or talk about them, answer questions about them. If we don't put it in the resolution, they cannot answer questions on it. They cannot say whether school boards are for or against something. They can say, sorry, we don't have a resolution on that. And the format for the resolutions is different than our resolution, which is a legislative resolution. So look at the old packet to figure out if there's something. And as a board, we have to vote on anything that we want to bring up as a board before the meeting in November, and I think it has to be the first week in October, which, of course, we are not meeting that first week, so it's September that we have to be looking at that. Also, if anybody wants to run for AASB board seat, even though I'm already there, we could have somebody else if somebody's passionate about the statewide association and the work that it does. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Welton. Something that I would like to have considered, I know that we as a school district have this in place and have had for several years, but I think it would be prudent with school starting soon and something that is important that we be reminded of and have knowledge of. I would like to ask that at the next board meeting, we have an update on what our school district policy is on bullying and how it is handled. There is so much in the news of late of things going on, and I think it's a good reminder for all of us to be ever present of that and be vigilant and have knowledge firsthand of what's going on and how it's handled in our schools. And so I ask that at our next board meeting we have an update, an administrative update on what our policies and procedures are on that if we could, please. Now, correspondence and board committee reports. Is there any yes, Member Larson. Go back up.
I agree with Member Weldon that we need to look at the AASB resolutions, but I would like to ask on that once it's brought forward, is there any way we can do those resolutions differently? It's so cumbersome and so arduous that it's hard to even wrap ourselves around it. Just consider it is what I'm saying. In the future, if there's some different method besides giving a 100-page document that just goes on forever, just consider it. We did better last year, I agree.
Through the chair. It takes a while to understand how it's put together, and there is an easy way to deal with it, and it's by starting with the different categories that they go through. There's five different categories, and just knowing that there's five categories and that this one covers the actual instruction, this one covers some other aspect, and you know, that kind of stuff. And then they have a sheet that lists the ones that are sunsetting, the ideas of the things that are not going to be on there unless we vote to revise them and bring them up to date. And those are the ones that we would most likely want to look at. And that's one way. The other way could be is that each of us takes a section and presents on that section.
However, in presenting on a section, something may be pertinent to one of us individually that may not be pertinent to the other. So perhaps the idea, and like we did last year, we looked at sunsetting things, and then I think we came to a consensus from looking at sunsetting things, and it seemed to go a little smoother, as I recall, last year. So maybe is it out of question to say that maybe we met 30 minutes earlier before a board meeting and tried to get down to it and go over them and see if we can come up with something? If that's not, that might be very helpful, because we'll have two meetings in September in which we could do that, and hopefully we could accomplish that goal. Does that seem feasible for the next meeting and see how we do? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Have we had any correspondence? I don't know that we've had any board committee reports. Anything that anyone would like to share? No? Okay, Dr. Goyette, comments from administration?
Assistant Superintendent Spargo?
I just want to thank the board for their courage in putting the sales tax proposal forward, and I commend you for continuing to advocate for our kids in such a public and really important way.
Assistant Superintendent Full?
Ditto what she said. Thank you.
We are very excited for the first day of school. It is rapidly approaching us, and we will all be out there that first week, all the leadership team in schools, making sure that every site is visited within the first 2 days to tend to any items that might come up. And we just thank you for your guidance and your direction. We got a lot of work done over the summer, and despite all the cuts that we had to make, we met with principals last Friday, and we just feel like the district is going to do amazing things for kids this year, and we're going to continue to get better at our practices and our opportunities. So thank you very much.
Member Trimmer.
So first I want to give a congratulations to the new Wasilla Assistant Principal, Kelly Mackey. Welcome to that new position. I'm sure you'll bring a lot to Wasilla and their programs with capturing kids' hearts, and that's always one of my favorite things. So welcome. And then congratulations to Miss Alaska, Angelina Clapperick, and I'm glad to see her initiative behind compassion as a father of children that we adopted that are affected by childhood trauma. It's really nice to see that in the public eye and with somebody that's a personality that can get out and promote that. And finally, a little on the sales tax proposal, not directly, but there were people there that spoke for and against, and there was participation, but there's not in this room. So I look out to a couple of our union representatives and some staff and Mr. Haberman in the back, and that's all I see out here. So we're facing a difficult challenge here. We have to educate our kids, and we have to do it well, and if we don't, we're going to pay for it in the future through cost to society, because if our children are not well educated, our crime rates are going to go up, our drug issues are going to go up, and so we have to figure out an answer to this challenge that we face. And that sales tax resolution was one of our potential answers, and we move on and we try to find other answers now. But I would love to see more participation by the public, and I invite them to come to our meetings and give us their position on some of this, and maybe learn about a little bit of what we're doing to try to use our funds responsibly. That's all I have. Thanks.
Member Rutherford.
Congratulations, Assistant Principal Mackey. I love that we both grow our own and we bring fresh voices in from outside. I think we get the best of both worlds that way. I guess one thing that last night, which I listened to and watched some of, did for us was give us an opportunity to hear what some people think. You know, what right or wrong perception is reality. So we have our work cut out for us in fixing some misconceptions and communicating with our community. We are, after all, at least our student body is a reflection of our community. And just like you get the government you deserve, you get the school system that you deserve. You know, the answer is to get those people involved. And I love that within our goals, a couple of times it's repeated about engagement, whether it's engaging parents more, engaging community and business more. Engagement and communication with the community is an area we can always improve on, and it will always benefit us. I said it before, I'll say it again, I love online registration. Yeah, I mean, it just took a matter of minutes. It was quick, it was easy, and although it's a little odd that iParent says my student's already been absent one day this year, but I'll check into that. I just want to say our next meeting will be after the first day of school, so best of luck to staff for a smooth school opening. Thanks.
Member Larson.
Thank you. Congratulations to Kelly Mackey. Mock and Taunt loss, and it was so again, but you, I just want to warn you, in a couple of years I'll be seeing you there also, because I have grandchildren that will be going to OSL High School, so I'll be keeping my eye on you. And it's good to see that that we have our own homegrown administrators, but administrators from other states. If you look at the new hire list, there's some from Alaska schools, but they're from all over the country. And in order to understand all that diversity, it's good to see that mix that we have within our school district, because our school district teachers are from practically every state in the union. And to be able to bring them all together and to teach the same curriculum is a challenge in itself, and it's good to see that we're up for the challenge. On the goals and the five areas that we went over, it looks like to me we're stepping on the accelerator and really going hot and heavy. And I know that they're achievable, although it's a lot of work, and I take my hat off to the staff for wanting to achieve that from year to year, because that just steps our district even further up for educating children. And the reason I know we're doing well is because Anchorage seems to be adopting some of the stuff that's already in place here. And I don't know if that has to do with their superintendent or not. I don't know. But it's kind of fun to listen to and read about the Anchorage School District. And some of the programs are all of a sudden that are in place here are adopting. And the only thing that irritates me is some of the staff that used to be here are down there now also, but that's beside the point. I'm glad to see that we're going to be, even though last night's assembly meeting was less than positive, it's good to see that we're going to continue to educate everybody in the Valley about the choices we have in education for our children. And that's what it boils down to, is the education and choice that our students have and parents have. And I'm glad that we're going to continue that. And we will, even with declining revenue, we will continue to be innovative and go into the 21st century, because we have great staff that can do that. And I appreciate that. Thank you.
Member Ruth.
Congratulations to Ms. Klapperich, or did I say that right? And to Mrs. Mackey, and good luck. And I'm just looking forward to a great school year this year.
Member Michelson.
Again, congratulations, Ms. Mackey. You landed at a very good school. I know the bar is really high there, and I think you'll do very, very well. Also to Angelina for her recent success and her bid to become Miss America here next month. I appreciate her her message of compassion. I think that's really, really timely in a lot of different ways. As we were going through the draft of the mission, beliefs, and goals, and I kind of got focused in on the principles there of stewardship, accountability, empathy, quality, integrity, respect, collaboration, and commitment, and really was thinking about the kind of the opportunities that we have going forward with this whole funding debate to really kind of let those things guide what we do, how we talk about the funding, how we talk about taxes, how we talk about the opposition that was very loud and clear last night, and to always stick to the guiding principles, because that will keep us all kind of in check, and it will keep us, it will ensure, I think, that we will prevail with the general public, I think, if this gets to a vote, I think. So, even though there were several periods last night I wanted to stand up and not act responsibly based on what I had heard. But I think it's a really good, I think the outcome is probably reasonable, but what I fear going forward, though, is that this committee, and I don't know who's actually going to be on it, but I'm sure that we will have a decent representation on it. I hope that the emphasis is on how to do the tax rather than whether or not to do the tax. And I also think that we should explore having it professionally facilitated because of the deep division. There's a huge division here. And I just think that somebody from the outside needs to come in, learn about this, and then go forward with a conversation that can be guided with the principles that we have adopted. and the city of Palmer can participate, city of Houston, city of Wasilla. Because what I heard last night and what I continue to hear are all the reasons that it's a really bad idea, from the accounting to the driving people out of town to do their shopping. And then, oh, by the way, we're big supporters of education. And those two things, they're not parallel at all, and they don't complement one another. And so I'm suspect, to be quite honest with you, as that it's more of a conversation about whether or not we should tax, instead of how to tax, how to make it go. And I really hope that there's a group of parents that are involved in this, who are consuming the product every day when they drop their kids off and when their kids come home, and that they're, instead of people who are looking at their bottom line, and I don't blame them at all for doing that, us trying to fulfill what we are responsible for doing, we have a vested interest, but the real interest here are parents with children who are being educated in our school district. And I really feel strongly that there needs to be that needs to be represented in this committee. And if it really is purely politicians and business owners, and then the school district, that I wonder if we won't get a repeat of last night. So I would ask that we really pursue what that makeup is going to be, and really keep it balanced, keep it fair. And I will also highly encourage that it be facilitated by somebody who can handle that kind of conversation with somebody who's very knowledgeable. I don't know who that is, but there's got to be somebody here that really understands the borough, understands the competing interests, and then what can also understand the nuances of state funding, borough funding, and just know that we're facing another deficit for FY18. And again, the whole repeat, we go back and we beg for money instead of having a really open, good conversation about how to get there and stay in the realm of what we can control, and that is, and what we can influence, and that appears to be the borough, even though it didn't appear that way last night. But it appears to be the borough. This is our backyard. This is where we can, I think, get the most traction for these things. So I look forward to hearing the progress of that committee. Thank you.
Dr. Walton.
Thank you. Congratulations to Angelina Klaprich. I've watched her grow up in this district and become such a beautiful young lady with talents and gifts, and able to, of course, she's going into psychology, so it's kind of up my alley, and I appreciate her looking at compassion. Congratulations to Mrs. Maggie. My children went to Wasilla High, so it's in my neighborhood, so I'm quite taken with that, and I wish you well there, and I will be coming to visit. I appreciate the focus on the recycling in the budget and stuff, and how there at least is a pilot program or a study of the waste stream. I do believe that the way the goals have been broken down into instruction and business and the divisions in there is good, the superintendent's piece in there. I believe that it was a very comprehensive take of what we did discuss at the retreat, and I'm happy to see what's there. I feel that we have to let experts do the expert piece, and yes, we can question things, but we're not to get into the weeds, and I appreciate that you know how to go about providing the instruction, providing the business operations, providing what the superintendent is supposed to be doing. Just back to school issues, my own grandchildren
had to go to the school to use the kiosk there because they couldn't get on with their personal devices, and so that was an issue. They had not been able to register until today, and that was they took the time to go over there and do it. And it has to do with iPads and phones, I guess. So anything that can be done to fix that, I appreciate it. And otherwise, I found the calendar so that I could give my grandchildren the calendar, as well as my grandson, as well as my son, the calendar for the year, so they know how to find what days are school days and what days are not. That was a problem last year. For some reason, they couldn't pull it up. They couldn't find it. They just found the district calendar, which was the month-to-month calendar. So I was able to get that for them. And for everybody out there, just having that calendar that tells you what days the schools are open and what days are professional development days is good. It's a great thing to have. And I keep a copy of it with me, and I keep a copy at my office, and take a look at that so that you can plan your vacation days, please. Thank you. Welcome back to school.
I'd like to thank Angelina Klaparik for spending her evening with us, and continued success to her as she is on her journey to Miss America. Congratulations to both Mr. and Mrs. Mackey on your new positions in the MathSU. We know that you will do well both at Wasilla and at Joe Reddington. In terms of the 2% sales tax, the comment I would like to make is this. There were a lot of things that were said last night, some positive, a lot more negative. And Member Michelson was right when he said that a lot of the things that were said were not congruent. And one of those things that kept popping up was when people said that they supported education, but then they went on to say other things that did not necessarily support public education. So I would like to say that it's a good thing to support education, but what we need to do is make public education our priority. We must prioritize public education. And that's the way we need to continue to talk about it from here on out. It is our priority. Public education in the MathSU must be our number one priority from here on out. And that's the way I'm looking at it. I'm still hopeful. I think the sales tax still has a pulse. And, you know, like anything with a pulse, good CPR and attention, and we're going to get it back going. So that's how I'm looking at it, because it's what we need to do. So public education is a priority, and I think we're in a good place. We're moving forward, and we're doing what is best for children in the MathSU, and I wish everybody a great opening of school. So thank you, and with that, I ask that someone please make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection? Seeing none, we are adjourned.